We are going to continue our series on the Promise 2K18, Promise 2K18, which is the promise that we are claiming for this year 2018. A lot of things that we must have done in the beginning of this year. Isn't it interesting that we are already in the towards the end of this month itself? This is the last Sunday of this month, January. Time flies. Time flies. It really goes very fast, and we need to really recognize how we are utilizing the time. And today, may the Lord speak to us through the promise that He has given us for this year 2018. Shall we all read this together as it is projected? And then you can fill in the blanks that are there in the sermon notes as well. Let's all read this together. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, that's a reference. Let's all read this. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'll give a moment of time to just fill in the blanks there where it says, called us to His eternal glory. I'm sure it's been a while for many of us to write down, because nowadays, with all the smartphones and the keyboards and everything, our handwritings also, I remember people used to say that I had a very good handwriting, now not anymore. That all that handwriting also, I lost it because I've not been using my hand. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to write down. Just don't listen to it, but make a point to fill in the blanks as well. Who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Let's read this in multiple languages. We'll first read this in Telugu language for those of us who understand it. Or even if you don't understand it, you can still read it because it is transliterated in English. Let's read this together, please. Tana nitya mahimaku kristu nandu memmanu pilachina sarva krupadi devudu koncham kalamu meeru shramapadina pimmata tane memmanu poornulaganu chesi sthiraparachi balaparachunu. We'll read this in a Hindi language now. अब परमेश्वर जो सारे अनुग्रह का दाता है जिसने तुम्हें मसीह में अपनी अनंत महिमा के लिए बुलाया तुम्हारे थोड़ी देर तक दुख उठाने के बाद आप ही तुम्हें सिद्ध और स्थिर और बलवंत करेगा. I hope you are able to understand these words. Another language. This is in Urdu for those of us who can understand the Urdu language. अब खुदा जो हर तरह के फजल का चश्मा है जिसने तुमको मसीह में अपने आबादी जलाल के लिए बुलाया तुम्हारे थोड़ी मुद्दत तक दुख उठाने के बाद आप ही तुम्हें कामिल और क्वायम और मजबूत करेगा. Isn't it wonderful that God is speaking to us in multiple languages? For those of us who know more languages, you can really relate all these various languages and try to understand what we are able to recognize as to what God wants to speak to us. Let us have an undivided attention for the next few minutes. Let's not get distracted by the things that are around us. Maybe a lot of things may be going on in our lives right now. Maybe some kind of tensions, maybe some kinds of fears, maybe whatever is going on. Let us take it to the Lord and say, Lord, God, you are the God who is here in our midst, that you may speak to me. Let's pray about that, okay? Gracious, loving Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us. We believe you are here in our midst, though we cannot see you, but you are here in our midst in spirit. You are a God who has eyes to see, ears to hear, and also a voice to speak. A voice that calls us. So Lord, we pray that you may speak to us, not my words, but let your words come through me so that it may have and an eternal value for each one of us. We may be going through difficult situations in our lives right now, uncertainty of future, maybe some situations that cannot be shared outside. But you know our hearts. You are looking to our hearts right now. I pray that you may meet us where we are so that we may go out of this place fully recognizing that there was a purpose for us coming to the church today. Thanking you and praising you, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm sure most of us have used telephones. There were times when I was growing up, we didn't have a phone at home. How many of us did not have a phone when you were growing up? Yeah, many of us, right? Many of us did not have a phone at home. And now it has become such a common thing that everyone holds a phone in their hands. Forget about having in their homes. So this phone calls are very commonly a terminology that we tend to come across and we experience. When Americans answer the telephone, most of them simply say, hello. But it's different in different countries, I heard. Germans answer a ringing phone with their last name. They pick up the phone and say, Smith here, or something like that. In Denmark, the Danes will answer with both their first and last names. That's how they respond. Russians say, I'm listening. By the way, in the Russian language, though. The curious French say, hello, who's on the line? Italians greet callers with, ready. Upon which the caller demands, who's speaking? The Spanish give the command, speak. The Chinese proclaim, hey, hey, who are you? And from the countries where most of us have come from, India or Pakistan, I've heard people say, the moment they pick up the phone, they say, kaun baat kar rahe? Who is it who's speaking? And suddenly, you know, there are a lot of telephone phone etiquettes in terms of how we respond to a phone call. When we call, how we talk to the other person, how we introduce ourselves. This is a typical way of communication. So the phone calls have changed the communication world as such. Now, keep aside phone calls. Now it's the smartphones. People keep getting messages on and on and on. Even in messages, people say hello. Even in emails, some people address them as hello and put the name. Though it is not a phone, still they use hello, or nowadays it's gone down to hi, H-I. And different ways in which people are saying. I remember when I was in my college, engineering college, I was studying in the north, in Rajasthan, Pilani. And I had to make a call to my dad, my family for that matter, my parents. So if it is before 6 a.m., it is very cheap. After 6 a.m., it's very expensive. So I used to get up early in the morning, and there used to be a booth where people, long line, because if it is after 6, nobody would be there. But before 6, full line. So I immediately dialed the line, and I have to tell one of my uncles or neighbors to call my dad. So he goes and calls. Again, I get back onto the line, and then once again called. That's when my dad picks up the call. That's how it used to be. And there were times, at a later point in time, when I pick up the phone and somebody says, hello, immediately I will know who it is. I will immediately recognize somebody's voice just by the way in which they say hello. Wouldn't you? Nowadays with caller ID, probably you know who it is. But earlier days, just by the voice of the person. Just by the voice. Not even full sentence. Hello? Oh, yeah, okay. This is my uncle or this is my dad. So the voice is very, very essential for us to be able to know. And this hello has become such a common term. There has been a hoax on the internet also saying, how did this word hello came? Some said it is Graham Bell's wife or girlfriend whose name was hello, and that's how he called her name. I don't know how true those things are. But the point is, when somebody is calling, there is a response that happens. Today, we are going to learn something about a calling that is mentioned in the Bible, and that is called to his eternal glory. Called to his eternal glory. This is a little fragment that I have taken from this entire verse that where you have filled in the blanks. Who has called us to his eternal glory? Last week, if you were here, we meditated on the first part, the God of all grace. We meditated upon the God who is a gracious God. The God who is so gracious that he's not just giving us grace marks to pass, but he's giving us those grace marks so that we'll get 100%. It is not grace marks that, oh, yeah, I'm at a borderline between C and B. Just give 2 points and I'll become a B. I'll get a B grade. No. We have a God who says that you cannot achieve to my expectation, so I am going to give you entire points. I am going to do everything on your behalf, and I'll give you 100%. That is the God of all grace. If you haven't heard it, you can go to our church website and listen to it on zion-church.org. The God of all grace. Today, it is who has called us to his eternal glory. Called us to his eternal glory. The first thing that you and I should understand about this calling is to recognize his call. Who is it? Or what kind of a call is it? Where is it coming from? Recognize his call. You can note down that word on the heading. It starts with the letter R, so you can fill in the remaining letters. Recognize his call. God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. So who is calling this? Who is calling? I'm not calling. You are not calling. But God is calling. It is who is initiating the call? You say, okay, I'm not going to call. Let that person only call. You know, a lot of times we tend to have such a kind of a bad relationship with each other. Sometimes we always expect the other person to call. Many times we are such kind. But we have a God, even before you call him, he's calling you. He is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling you, who has called us. Recognize his call. You know what kind of a call that is? Where is it coming from? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. For those of us who can open your Bibles, please read it aloud. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. If you have a King James version, I would rather prefer you to read from that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Another brother was reading in another language. Please continue to read it, brother. Unnatamaina pilupu or high calling. Note it down. It is a high calling. Somebody who's calling from high above. It is a high calling that God is calling us from. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling. It is not coming from somewhere low or anywhere from the earth. It is a high calling and God is calling. God is calling unto his eternal glory. We are going to look at that part later. But from coming to the calling, that it is a high calling. And the second aspect about this calling is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Please read. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Let us note it down. What kind of a calling is it? God has called us with a holy calling. Unto holiness. Because we have a God who is a holy God. We have a God who is a God who is high above all. He is giving us a high calling. He is giving us a holy calling also. Who saved us and called us. Please read in any other language. Verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Parishuddhamaina pilupu, unnatamaina pilupu, high calling, holy calling, parishud. Parishud means holy. He is a God who is a holy God. He is giving us a holy calling towards us. And third and the final thing that we can learn in this particular section is Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. We have a God who is giving us such a kind of a calling. It is coming from high above. It is a holy calling that because he's a God who's a holy God. And thirdly, in chapter 3 and verse 1. Partakers of a heavenly calling. God is calling us from heaven. It is a heavenly calling. God is a God who has created this earth. But he's a God who is in heaven, who is giving us a gift of eternal life or eternal glory, and he wants us to take us to heaven, not hell. Hell where sinful aspects, the result of it is happening. But we have a God who has given us a heavenly calling. Now notice these three aspects. How do I recognize this? How do I know that this is a call from God? Because it is a high calling. Because it is a holy calling that I may live holy unto him. Because he's a holy God. And thirdly, it is a heavenly calling. Heavenly calling. He wants us to have time with him. He wants us to spend with him eternity for eternity in heaven. That is what a heavenly calling is. So when we understand this aspect about the God, there is one thing that you and I should recognize here is that we have a God who is a God of glory, or a glorious God. What is glory? I know probably some of us have names called glory. Anyone who knows anybody by name glory? Grace probably, yes. Glory also, yes. These are the names people put. What is this glory? Some other languages, they call them as Gloria. Yeah, Gloria? Now, yeah, some of us might know some people with that name, Gloria. Yes, what is this glory? Glory, it is called the glory in different languages. It is called Mahima. Have you heard about Mahima? Yes, that is also a word that talks about the gloriousness. Mahima, Tejasu, it says. Tejas means it is bright. It is about the light. Or in other words, the Bible talks about the fact that we have a God of glory who is a God who shines forth. His presence will be there. When there is a light here, when the sun is putting forth the light, it is shining forth. The glory of God is like that, where he is shining forth upon us for a reason. In other words, his presence is there. When there is light, when we are able to see the light, that means there's a lamp somewhere that is producing the light. When I go outside, there is daylight because there is a sun that is producing the light. Similarly, in our lives also, when we are in darkness in our lives, God has produced a light in us, and that is what glory means. But that glory of God was experienced from initially, where the initial people who were created, Adam and Eve, God was able to spend some time with them. They were able to experience the glory of God or the presence of God. But because of a sinful nature, because of the disobedience of man, that glory of God was not able to be experienced by man. Because of the sinful nature, that glory was not able to be experienced. They were not able to see the light of the glory of God. They were not able to experience the glory of God, which God has called us to his eternal glory. He is calling us to his eternal glory. And that is why there is one of the famous verses that the Bible talks about. And that is taken from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 about the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Notice this carefully. Listen to this carefully. Romans 3, 23. Please read. Mahimanu pondaleka pochinaru. All have sinned, the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is a glory of God. All have sinned. Doesn't matter where you're from, which country you're from, which language you speak, which nation or which continent you're from. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, rich or poor. The Bible says all have sinned. That includes you and I. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is that glory of God? God wants us to have that glorious experience with him. And we are all fallen short. We are come short of the glory of God. There is no way in which we are able to experience the glory of God. That is why he says, I have called you to my eternal glory, to his eternal glory. He wants to have your presence with him in glory. And that is why, instead for us to be able to have that glorious experiences with God, the glory of God came down into this world. The glory of God came down into this world. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Last month, the entire world remembered, and most of the time they just remember in the month of December. We were able to see his glory. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. God's glory was able to be seen in Jesus Christ. The word became flesh. God became flesh. He came down to call us to his glory. And when he came down in the form of a human being, people were able to see his glory, the God's glory. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, through Jesus Christ, we are able to experience that glory of God. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father. God wants to give us that glory. And how is it that he has come? He has come into this world as a human being in order to be able to call us to his eternal glory. What is the reason for us to call to his eternal glory? Let us note down the next box that is there. Reason for his call. Why is he calling us? Not only recognizing his call, that it is a high calling, holy calling, and heavenly calling, but the reason, you can note down that word reason in the heading. Reason for his call. What was the reason for his call? First reason for calling us to his eternal glory is salvation. Salvation. Bachane ke liye. You and I need to be saved. Saved from the eternal hell. We don't want to follow the hell calling. We want to follow the heavenly calling. For saving us from the hell calling, lot of spam calls keep coming to us. Many, many spam calls. We don't know what call to take. Phone calls are bogged down with spam. Emails are bogged down with spam. We don't know which one to respond, which one not to respond. So God has come similarly in our lives. Many people are trying to give us calling, telling us certain things, but it is not the calling of God. But God wants to say, I want to save you from that hell calling. The way in which the sin is drawing people away from God, he wants to save us. He wants to call us to salvation. What is salvation? Salvation means there is something that is going on in my life. I'm going towards destruction because of the sinful nature. I'm bound to hell. There is no way in which I can come out by myself. Somebody needs to save me. Somebody is drowning in the water. He needs some help. He's shouting out, save me, save me. Bachao, rakshinchandi. Somebody had to go down into that water and pull him out. That is how God looked at man. He was unable to be able to save himself. He is drowning in that water of sin and destruction. God jumped into the water and pulled him out. That is salvation. God has saved us. God wants to be able to experience that salvation in our lives. And Luke chapter 5 talks about it. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Here, he called out various people, different disciples he called. He said in verse 27, he told to a man by name Levi, not the jeans, but Levi, his name is also Matthew. And he said to him, follow me. He called him and Matthew followed him. And as and when later on, Levi calls for a big reception in his house. He invites Jesus. And Levi, because of his profession as a tax collector, a lot of corruption used to happen in those days. And they used to be considered as so-called sinners. Or in other words, they were not doing the things right. They were corrupting. The nature of corruption was right there. Many of us are in such kind of situation where our lives are, our minds are corrupted. We think things that are not right. We do things, we speak things that are corrupted. So here, Jesus Christ was eating with them. And people were questioning, how come Jesus is sitting with them and eating and drinking with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus responds to that in verse 32. He says, I have come to call sinners to repentance. I have come, in other words, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It can also be rephrased as, I have come to call sinners to repentance. That is the whole purpose Jesus came into this world. He has come to call. He's giving a call. He's giving us a call. Are you responding to that call? That is what you and I should be able to recognize here. He wants to call us. He's calling us. Personally, he's calling us. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 talks about a man who was in Jericho. And he was also a tax collector. And he was a short man. And Jesus was passing by that city of Jericho. We learned about Jericho in our worship exhortation as well. Zacchaeus was so short that he couldn't see Jesus. So he climbed up a sycamore tree to see who this Jesus was. He had a desire. His heart could be seen there. He had a desire to know or learn or see who this Jesus was. He was there up on the tree. He thought nobody else can see him. All that he could do is he can see Jesus. That's what he thought. He went to the sycamore tree. And when Jesus was passing by, verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. Today, I must stay at your house." He didn't say, "Hey, that man on the tree, that short man." He didn't say that. He said, "Zacchaeus." He called by name. Jesus calls us by name. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows that you have a desire to know who this Jesus is. He's calling you by name. "Zacchaeus, you come down. I need to must stay at your house." And what did Zacchaeus do? Huh? Me? Is there any other Zacchaeus? Looking back? No. He knew clearly, he could recognize Jesus calling him. He could recognize Jesus calling him. And what did he do? He didn't say, "No, I'm not going to get down. Who are you? I just wanted to know who you are. That's it. I don't want to care about the things, what you do, etc." No. When Jesus called Zacchaeus, verse 6 says, he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Jesus is calling. Are you taking the call? Oh, let it keep ringing. That's okay. Jesus calling on the phone. Jesus calling. No, I'm not going to take this call right now. Maybe we are delaying. Jesus is calling you by name. Zacchaeus hurried and received him gladly. He received the call. Jesus went to his house, spent time with him. And Jesus said in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house." Salvation has come to this house. Salvation calling, my dear. It is a response to the calling of Jesus Christ. What are you doing? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Please read. Isaiah chapter 40. Yes. Your creator, the God who is your creator, that now, not sometime later, now, says the Lord. Yes. He who formed you, do not fear. Don't fear to take the call. Don't fear to lift up the call when Jesus is calling. Yes. I have called you by name. I have called you by name. Take your name. Jesus is calling you. God is calling you by name. He's calling you by name. "You are mine," he says. What a wonderful God we have. He is calling you by name. Individually. Not, "Okay, every one of you come." No. You. By name he's calling you. Are you hearing his voice? Are you listening to his voice calling you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. He's calling you. What is the response? If you are sensing, if you are recognizing God calling you, what is your response? The Spirit of the Lord can work in your hearts in order to be able to respond to that calling. That calling is a wonderful calling, my dear. Nowadays, we are meditating on a Bible study on a book called Galatians, a letter that was written to the people at Galatia. Chapter 1. I just want to remind ourselves, because that's how we can really relate everything that we keep studying, be it Bible studies or Sunday sermons. They're all related, my dear. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Listen to this carefully when somebody reads it. Yes. God who has set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace was pleased. Please read this in any other language. Galatians 1:15. Talli garbamandu padinadi. What is that padinadi? It's interesting when I was reading that. Something that has fallen in the mother's womb. The moment the conception happened. The moment there was a conception. What happens here? What does it say? God set me apart. Please read, brother. Continue. He called me by his grace. The God of grace has called me unto his eternal glory. When did he call me? While I was in my mother's womb. Typically, the word born is when a person comes into this world. This is while the person is in the mother's womb. God set me apart and called me by his grace. Oh, my dear, don't think that conception is something that a husband and wife makes a choice about. The moment there is a conception happened, God sets apart. It is not when they are born into this world. Many people don't recognize it. Be it anyone, they tend to kill their conscience thinking that only after the baby is born, that person is considered a person. God, the moment there's a conception, I don't know what you call that, I'm not a medical person, but the moment there is the first part of the process of the life cycle that happens within the mother's womb. God, padinadi modalukoni. Oh man, in Telugu it was very clear, mentioned the way in which the conception happens, God has set apart. No human has a right to kill that in the mother's womb. Because God had set apart. We don't know how many Pauls, as he mentions here, God is setting apart while they are in the mother's womb. Oh man, nowadays abortions are becoming so common everywhere. They are not able to recognize the calling of God towards the one. God is using both husband and wife to conceive. We think that, oh, this is not my time. I don't need this child. Who are we to say that? The moment there is a conception, remember that God has set apart. I want to make it very clear. This has to get into our conscience, into our hearts very clearly, because God has a plan for that little one while that little one is in the mother's womb. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1. Listen! Pay attention, There is something that is being talked about, yes.
The Lord called me from the womb.
Forget about being after that baby comes out. The Lord called me from the womb. Yes.
From the body of my mother, he named me.
From the body of my mother, he named me. He called me by name. That's what he says here. And that is a wonderful thing in which God, even in Jeremiah chapter 1, the next book, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God is knowing what is happening.
Many times we kill that conscience. We kill the one that God is forming in the mother's womb. Yes.
Before you were born, I consecrated you.
God is consecrating his people. God is calling his people while they are in the mother's womb. I hope this is getting clear to us. God is calling while the baby, or the one, while the baby is just conceived to the point of being formed in the mother's womb, God is calling. To his eternal glory, God is calling. And that is what you and I should recognize here. He is the one who is creating our inward parts. We can keep telling God, you are doing so much. Yes, but when it comes to practicality of our Christian living, what are we doing with the purposes of God when he's using us as instruments to bring the next generation into this world? Humanly speaking, there can be a lot of human rights that may be moving here and there. Maybe there is a change in the law of the land. But the word of God is very clear that he has called us while we are in our mother's womb. You and I need to recognize it clearly enough. He has called us. Secondly, not only salvation, but sanctification. Sanctification. 2 Timothy 1:9, we read that. It is holy calling, right? You don't need to refer to it again. It is mentioned as holy calling on the left box that you have. Holy calling or sanctification. 1 Peter 1:15. 1 Peter 1:15. What does it say? 1 Peter 1:15. Like the Holy One who called you. Who is calling you? The Holy One is calling you. It is the holy calling. You can note down the references as well for future. You be holy in all your behavior. God wants us to be holy. The calling, the reason for calling us, the holy calling, the reason for holy calling is that you and I maintain sanctified lives. It is not a selective obedience, my dear, by the way, again. As sons of Zion, we have been meditating on Saul, the king, and there was a selective obedience. Oh, this one, I will do it fully, but this one, it's my choice. I won't obey God in these matters. Selective obedience is disobedience. So let us be clear. I need to maintain holy lives, sanctified lives. If God is prompting us right now, if God is convicting us, that we are living an unholy life in our behavior, in our thought, in our actions, in our attitude. Let us take this point and say, Lord, please make me holy. Sanctify means set apart or separate me from this wicked world. He has called me to be set apart. The word church, in Greek it's called ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out. That's what it means. Simple. Church or ecclesia means called out. Called out means you cannot mingle with the things of this world. I am calling you out. Why? So that you may lead a separated life. Because I am holy, I want you to be holy. God wants us to maintain holy lives. Maintain holy lives, my dear. That is what a sanctified living is. Sanctification process. He's on a regular basis, he's sanctifying us. And third and the final thing that we can learn today is that calling is for serving Him. It's for serving Him. This verse that is right here on this podium is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There was someone who was calling this boy by name Samuel. The word Samuel. That is his name. And this little boy, he never heard the voice of God before. In chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, he happened to hear a voice while he was lying down. He was taking rest. He was sleeping probably. Suddenly he hears a voice. Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, another man there. "Here I am. You called for me?" So many times we go to somebody else. When God is calling us, we think somebody else is calling us. And we try to go and satisfy that person who is calling us. But here, he goes and Eli says, "No, I didn't call you." Then again, he goes back to sleep. And in verse 6, God called yet again, "Samuel." God is calling by name. First time God called, you thought somebody else is calling. He thought somebody else was calling. He did not respond to God's calling. Second time again, God is calling. We have a God who repeatedly is calling again and again. Second time God called. And then he goes back to Eli and says, "Here I am. Did you call me?" And then it says in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of God yet been revealed to him. Even before the word of God was revealed to Samuel, he heard the voice of God. He heard the voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Eli says, "I sense that God is calling you, Samuel. This time you say, 'Here I am, Lord, speak.'" And that is what he goes. The third time God calls him. And then the third time, verse 10. First time in verse 4, just the Lord called Samuel. I don't know how he called him, but the Lord called Samuel. And then in verse 6, Lord called him Samuel. And then in verse 10, Lord called him Samuel, Samuel, two times to draw your attention, to draw his attention. Samuel, Samuel in verse 10. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening." That is where the connection happened. God was calling him. He was not able to take the call. He thought it is somebody else's call. And then the moment he responded to God's calling, he was able to really connect. Oh, my dear. And then God used him mightily. Samuel, the prophet of God. God used him mightily. There are many other instances in the Bible where God had called people to his service as well. God called me to his service. Maybe God has called you to his service. What is your calling to serve the Lord? What is the specific purpose for which he's calling you? Not only is his calling a salvation calling, not only is his calling a sanctification calling or a holy calling, but also is a calling for serving him. God spoke to me from Acts chapter 6 and verse 4 that we'll give ourselves to the ministry of word and prayer. To be able to involve in the work of God, God should call us as well to be able to be involved in his work. That is serving calling. Somebody made this statement and I thought I wanted to share with you. You cannot choose your calling. Your calling chooses you. You cannot choose your calling. "Oh, I like this, so this is my calling." No! You cannot choose your calling. Your calling chooses you. You have been blessed with various skills that are yours alone or various gifts that are given to you. Use them, whatever they may be, and forget about wearing another's hat. God has created you for a purpose. God is calling you in your situation that you are in. The condition that you are going through, God is calling you. Are you responding to his call? Are you thinking, "Oh, I'll leave it into the voicemail. I'll check the voicemail later." And then after some time, you may click on your phone and listen to the voicemail and says, "This is me, God calling you. I want to talk to you. I want you to have eternal glory with me." And then you say, oh, this is the voicemail now. What should I do? I won't return the call. Some people are like that. And there are a few who return the call and say, oh, I missed your call earlier. I've been hearing, but I've not been able to respond. I'm calling you now. I'm responding to your call now. I'm returning your call. He's called us to his eternal glory. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. I want us to be very clear to understand this calling of God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Simple. I need to explain this statement. If you hear his voice, it is you. I'm not trying to convince you here. God speaking to you. If you hear his voice calling you, do not harden your heart. 2 Corinthians 6. Just in continuation to the same thought process. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. Yes. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not 2 hours from now. Not before the 12 o'clock. Not at the 11th hour. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You want to read in any other language? 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Continue. Idigo ippude mikkili anukula samayamu. Idigo. Ide rakshana dinamu. Now is the day of salvation. Not some other time, my dear. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Are you accepting this? Are you receiving this calling that God is giving us? The day of salvation can be yours today. For that matter, now. What are you going to do now? God is calling you. Are you keeping on saying, end. Calling, God is calling, end. No, I'm not going to take the call. And then it goes to the voicemail. Sometimes you tend to listen to that voicemail. Sometimes you don't care about that voicemail of God. Sometimes you are not even caring to return the call. My dear, I want to leave this thought with you. Ponder over this. Next time you take your phone and somebody calls you, remember that Jesus is calling. He's saying, come unto me. He's calling by name. Wouldn't you respond to him? May the Lord bless this word.